recruiting animal here this week on August 10th, 2011. And that was mellow music for a mellow mood. I'm in a mellow mood today because I hear my guest is not in a mellow mood. I heard he's a wild man. I don't know him. I had a conversation with him yesterday, and he seemed pretty strong opinions. Anyway, I won't go on blabbing about this. I want to continue what I was talking about last week. I told you how pathetic executives can be when they step into the role of hiring manager. You might think someone who's got a director title or a VP title is really somebody, but when he becomes a hiring manager, that's when they show their true colors. Today, I want to give you just one example. About 6 weeks ago, I had a phone conversation with a VP of sales, a VP, right? A vice president. He was looking for a senior sales person, someone who handles big accounts, someone who handles accounts worth millions of dollars. The guy took a little time for me. He gave me a minimal idea of what he wanted, but when I asked him about the compensation package, he said he didn't know. He's the VP, and he doesn't know what they're paying. So I said, look, buddy, HR has already given me the base salary. I just need to know how much commission the person is going to earn at quota. I'll get it for you later, he said. Okay. Within a week, I had two candidates. Both of them were very, very good. I could tell they were good, and I didn't even know anything about his business. They were really good. Within 2 weeks, they'd been interviewed by the hiring manager and another VP and a sales engineer. There was no doubt they were good. There was no doubt they could do the job. But then the VP said, sends me an email. He says, find me some more people. I said, okay, but first you tell me what these guys are missing, because I think they're pretty good. You know what I got? No reply. No reply. So I said, look, do you have any idea what the money is now? He says, well, I have some tentative figures. I got some figures from the president. I said, send them to me. So I take a look at them. And the base is lower than what HR gave me. And the base and commission package together were way lower than what both of the two candidates were earning. So I said to him, I said, hey, okay, I'll go back and look for some more people. Do you want someone more junior? No, he said. I need people just like them, just like the guys you sent me. Someone more junior couldn't do the job. So then, you know, he said, look, I'll send the number one candidate onto the president for an interview. And I said, fine. And I didn't look for anybody else. I wanted to see what happened. Well, they had a one-hour interview on the phone because the candidate's in Toronto, the president's far away somewhere else. And the candidate got back to me. He thought the meeting went very well. I want to work there, he said. And then I get this email from HR. HR was my primary contact. So HR sends me this note. It says, the president thought your candidate was okay. Okay in small font, small letters, but did not stand out. Your candidate was okay, but did not stand out. And for this reason, we want to continue the search for additional candidates. In addition, the VP and the president, I'll speed it up, both feel that although your candidate has good experience, he's bounced around through too many jobs. And although we explained his moves, we still feel that's a problem. The guy's been in the process for 5 weeks, and now they're telling me that? Come on! And the compensation, this is what they said in the email. The president wants to wait until the candidate has been chosen before we start discussing it. Huh, you know what? My candidate has had 4 interviews, and I don't have any information. So I called the candidate, and I told him he was out. And And then I said to the company, it looks like the president is a key part of the selection team. Before I go back into the field, I want to speak to him to find out what he's looking for. And you know what else? I'd like to get an idea of the money, because I don't want to bring someone in and then at the end of the process find out the money isn't right. So HR sends me an email. Dear Animal, I didn't say your candidate was out of the running. I just indicated our concerns. That's not true! And then she says, let's put everything on hold now. Don't look for more people. So listeners, you make up your mind. Was I too tough with this company? The guy who is on hold now, the guy who didn't stand out, that's what the president said. He earned over $300,000 last year. And the number two candidate, he earned over $250,000. And you know what? They're flexible. They know what they're doing. You think they can make that kind of money and be losers? No, they're not. I want these guys, before they send me out looking for someone else, they deserve. I deserve. They don't deserve. I deserve their time. I deserve some clear direction. You can tell I'm angry. Take the time to speak with me, Mr. President, big shot. Anyway, it doesn't matter that I'm angry, because I got an angry guest, and I got to be up to deal with him. His name is Ryan Kovach. I was told before the show that he's a pit bull on steroids. And he's had it up to here with recruiters. That's what he told me yesterday. And he wants to tell you why on Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show. Where's the music?
Something's wrong with my sound chair. I can barely hear anything.
Man, that's... Is it... Hello?
Here. That, Jerry, make you feel a little better?
It's doomed. I might just hang up.
You can't dance to it.
Okay, I don't know what's happened to my my sound. Anyway, it's Ryan Kovach, our guest here, the Pit Bull.
Yeah.
Okay.
How y'all doing?
Hey, Ryan.
I'm fine. Okay, now,
good.
Now listen, you know, I asked Maureen to help me. And instead, I got lambasted by her. So now we've got two Twitter streams. Hashtag, number sign A Show is what she's going to follow. Tweetchat.com.
What?
The A Show. A Show.
No, Maureen, it's always been at Animal.
Anyway, she's going to follow A Show. If you want Maureen to monitor your tweets and tell me what's going on, make it A Show. And if you want to just do regular at Animal, who wants to monitor those today and tell me when there's a good one there?
What's it pay?
Intern for a day. Who wants to monitor those?
Yeah, how much is it? How much is the pay?
Intern is slave labor. No free, no pay.
I want to talk to the president.
Kind of like you and your big client there.
Yeah, what's that all about?
You're kind of an
tell me, was I too hard
president
on that client, Rayanne?
No. No, you were not.
Okay, good. Jerry?
I want to know why you got lambasted.
Who was that? Ryan, the guest?
Yeah. No, this is Ryan. Yeah.
Got lambasted by who?
Maureen.
I don't know. You said you got lambasted by Maureen, I guess.
Oh, yeah, because she wants to screw up the, or change.
Because we're
going to
do things different.
Yeah, she wants to do things a little different. Okay, she's not complaining
different
about you.
Different moving forward or different because of me?
Yeah, no, it's not. It has nothing to do with you. I was told you got a big, I got to tell you, just before the show, someone sent me an email and said, watch out, this guy's got a big, big ego. And I said,
nice.
That's great. That's what we're looking for on this show.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
I don't know.
But he knows
man
what he's talking about, Animal.
Does he? Okay, here's what he said. This is Ryan Kovach. This is what he said on his blog. He said, we've all seen the kid on American Idol who's been lied to by everyone. Family and friends tell her what a great singer she is, when in reality she'd make a deaf, dog squeal. Go get non-partial advice from mentors who will be honest. And, Ryan, I want to tell you, you've come to the right place. If you are a pit bull, if you are a mad dog, we're going to tell you right here on the Recruiting Animals Show. This is the place for you
to
be.
Hey, you know what? I'll accept my own advice. I will absolutely accept my own advice.
Nice. And you know what? I got to say something. I had this guy, Job Rich. I thought he was my friend on Twitter. He went nuts on me today. We were discussing the riots in London. He's over there in England. So I said, our expert on site for the London riots, Job Rich. The next thing I know, I'm getting a tweet that says, F you.
Animal.
Wow.
Animal.
Nice.
The Brits are quite embarrassed. They've done nothing but increase government handouts to all the kids over there.
It's horrible. What's happening right now is
horrible. And they're embarrassed.
It is embarrassing.
It's quite embarrassing. You're handing Generation Y everything, health care, education, all this. And what do? They just want to tear down people's businesses because they can.
Well, I thought they got shot.
Yeah, okay, look, let's not forget about Ryan, the guest. I want to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah, but this is right down Ryan's alley.
Yep.
Ryan is not – I looked at Ryan's Facebook page just before
the
show.
Yeah, don't get him going on politics or religion.
Yeah, I don't
want to
talk about –
politics.
No,
absolutely.
Ask him to stay on your show.
We are obligated to pay attention to the destruction of this once great nation.
You know what? I got to tell you, Jerry, you do that on the after show, okay? Ask him to stick around, and you can talk about anything. Ryan, we're moving ahead.
Good.
You tell us a little about your history. And I had a brief conversation with Ryan yesterday. I'm stuttering. Anyway, and so if you say something wrong, I'll just correct you. So tell us about your history.
Yeah, basically.
What's this basically? Why does everybody say basically? That's now an animal bad word.
I'll
basically.
Say
basically.
Why I say
basically.
It I don't
forget
know
that
exactly.
Basically. Leave it out. And Ryan,
I'll tell
you
why
say
I say it is I don't know exactly. So
you don't know your own history? Give me a break.
Not
go
exactly.
Ahead.
All right. So 18 years in the industry, started with
what
a family
industry?
Firm, recruiting industry.
Oh, there you have it.
Started
Jerry, wake up.
Firm.
You recommended this guy. Go ahead.
I mentioned it offhand when I was in a drunken stupor.
Now he's
okay.
Good.
Okay.
And I was drunk when I said I would come
recommending
on here,
somebody.
Don't ask Jerry for advice after 5 p.m. Okay, go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I started with the family firm. Spent about 10 years there. I was the gopher. You know, they no special treatment. Gopher worked my way up into recruiting and then up into multiple branch manager. Hated it, hated every minute of it, hated every minute of working with the family, and working with the clients and the people.
I love this guy. I love you. Why did you hate it?
I don't like people.
Okay.
I think people are really the worst things on planet Earth, to be honest. So
yeah.
I'm not one of those feel-good kind of guys. I think people let you down.
Uh-huh.
I think they bother you. I think they disappoint you over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And when you think that you've got relationships, you realize that all you were doing was spinning your wheel. There's relationships that I have, but there's very few that I trust and lean on. So anyway, after that, my background was in art, design, computers and all of that. So I was extremely good at growing a staffing company, better than anybody. And I'll say that right now, staffing and recruiting. I was a young buck. I had great strategies. So I took that and started an ad agency that I had for about 7-8 years that I sold in 2009. And in that
time, I
worked.
You're not on a speakerphone. You're not on a speakerphone, are you?
No, I'm not.
We can
hear
him.
You're on a
regular
phone.
Fine. We can
hear him. I'm on a regular phone.
Okay, go ahead.
He knows what the rules are, Animal. He's not an idiot.
Okay, go ahead. So you're a young buck.
I clearly got the 4 times you told me landline, no headset.
Okay, you're a young buck. I got that part. What happened with the young buck?
So I worked. I opened my ad agency specifically for recruiting firms, and in that seven to eight years, worked with about 125 firms across America, large and small. And in that time, developed a real hatred. Really, for the industry and its people.
Hatred?
So in that time, I also won a lot of awards that, you know, I was never able to be given credit for, because if they would have known it was me, they wouldn't have awarded it. So, you know, those are things that that I did. In 2009, I sold the agency to a couple of one was an employee and another was a partner of his.
How much did you sell it for?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I thought
that wasn't even money, honey.
How much did you sell it for? There you go. How did you sell it? Tell us a little bit about that.
More than it was worth.
I sold it for a lot.
What is a lot? And how did you sell it?
I had to give them $15,000.
You had to give them $15,000.
Yep, I sold it for a lot of money. They made out with like bandits. I'm just joking.
So you gave it to them?
No. I gave it to them with some purchase.
With
but
some
I'm,
what?
I'm not going to go into that. I'm not going to go into the money.
Nobody ever wants to.
Nobody ever wants to talk about money, Maureen.
Tell me about it.
Money. My agency is for sale. $10 million. There you go.
Just like animals complain. They don't want to talk about the money either.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah,
nobody wants to talk about that. So, mm-hmm. So the new guys have taken it. They've grown it. They've done a fantastic job with it.
Okay, I'm not interested in them. You're the guest here today. Okay, you told me you opened your own ad agency specifically for recruiters.
There's a reason, though, that they're important in this.
Why?
They bought a recruiting and staffing-specific ad agency. Very deeply embedded in the industry.
Yeah.
Within months, they quickly either learned my disdain for the industry, learned they could not make any money with the cheap bastards that run the industry or whatnot, and immediately changed the name and went to a general agency that would take on any and all business, which was a very smart business move for them.
Okay.
Well, they play into the picture.
Uh-huh. Okay,
but
now here's the thing.
I was never willing to do.
Okay, but you said you were better than anybody at growing a recruiting firm. What does that mean, growing a recruiting firm? What do you mean by that? I'm not sure.
I think what it means is
you think what it means? You said it.
Yeah, it means longevity on internal staff, and it means revenue. It means growth. It means opening new offices. It means hiring more people. It means placing more people and making record profits with the lowest amount of overhead and cost.
Okay, are you saying, so you're a great recruiter, you're great at managing other recruiters, you're great at marketing a recruiting business, but you don't like the maintenance side? Once it gets big, you don't like running it on a day-to-day basis.
That's
is that what you're saying? You know, I got to tell something. Job Search Coach, he's going to be putting up there on Twitter that he hears all kinds of popping noises. I hear them, too. I don't know what to do about it. You tell me.
Sing happy birthday to him. It's his birthday.
I'm not hearing anything. Everybody sounds real clear to me.
Everything sounds fine.
Okay, wait a sec. We'll say, no, first I wanted to, resume strategy says, hashtag A show. She says, when I see hashtag A show, I think of hashtag A-hole. The tenor of the animal show is going down. I don't think it's that inappropriate.
Suggestions for the animal show in the history of the animal show.
Okay. Job Search Coach, has his kid been born yet, Janice?
Very, almost like 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks, they'll have birthdays close together. That's not good to have birthdays too close to other people, because everyone's broke after the first one.
Job
Search Coach, I don't like the song Happy Birthday anymore. It's just too banal, so I'm just going to wish you a happy birthday. Can everybody do that with me? Job Search Coach, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. He's a regular listener, Ryan, and a regular complainer. Half the shows, you know, he waits till we're 15 minutes in and he starts putting up, what's the show about? Is there a topic? What's the show about? The show's about this guy and his hatred for you, okay?
Hey, Overby says, talk about the money. Don't be like the skeleton in the closet, Grandma.
Yeah, okay.
Family secret, talk about the money.
This guy's got more backbone than anybody. He's not going to talk about the money.
Yeah,
okay.
Can't talk
he
about
wants
the
to
money.
Know how much
an
agency is worth. Tell him to build one and sell it and find
okay.
out. That's
okay.
Right.
Now look, Ryan.
Yes.
You told me that you've worked with recruiting bosses, owners of recruiting firms, in every stage of the business, a company that's doing well
right.
and wants to grow, a company that's falling apart and needs, you know, a Ryan Kovach injection to help them go, you know, keep from going under. You've done it all. So I want to hear about that, but first I want to bring you an ad from my sponsor, JobSpeak.com, JobSpeak.com. JobSpeak is a free mobile job posting application. It lets you post a job from your smartphone to the internet. It also lets you post a picture of your business and a 60-second audio about the job directly from your phone. It cross-posts. You know, Ryan, I have trouble saying cross-posts. Can you say that easily?
Cross-posts?
Cross-posts to your Facebook
cross-post.
And Twitter accounts automatically, and it's brought to you by @ChrisRussell, the genius behind AllCountyJobs.com. Now, last week, I think I complained that JobSpeak is a confusing spelling because Speak is E-E-K, but job speak, S-P-E-A-K, is what comes to mind. And this genius, Chris Russell, he also owns job speak, S-P-E-A-K. So if you go to JobSpeak.com, you're going to go to JobSpeak.com. Either way, Ryan, can you say it with me, JobSpeak.com?
JobSpeak.com.
And can you say AllCountyJobs.com, which Chris also owns?
AllCountyJobs.com.
This show
go
is
there.
Paid for. $2 in that ad. That's pretty good, isn't it? $2
that's
in that.
Nice ad.
That's phenomenal.
Okay.
Can you talk about the money?
Now, you asked me to ask, yeah, you asked me to ask you this question, but I think you kind of already answered it. Do recruiters have integrity? That's what you wanted me to ask you.
No, Animal,
yeah.
You shouldn't tell the audience that Ryan gave you that softball question to ask him. That's not – come on, man. You're supposed to just slip into it naturally.
You call that a softball question?
He doesn't like people.
Softball question. Most people wouldn't have the guts to answer it. Okay, let's take a step back.
Well, I guess we'll wait and see if he answers it.
Ryan, let's take a step back. First, you told me a war story. Well, you know what? I got to tell you something. I was going to lead with this. This guy makes prank SEO calls and then posts them on the internet. Taking him down, he calls up companies. Really, he does. Just let me find it. He calls himself the Google maniac, and he makes SEO prank calls. Right? He said, "It's
right."
He said, "You want to tell us about it? Should I tell
sure.
everybody about it?"
Yeah, let yeah. I'll. You want me to tell about it? Or?
No, Ryan, you're the guest. I'll give you the first chance. If you don't do a good job, I'll start talking.
Yeah, so essentially, we find companies out of the Yellow Pages.
What did you have to say?
Nobody.
What did you have to say? What did you have to say? Essentially, for why didn't you just say?
It's the way to not stutter.
You're right. I'm going to stop using basically, and I'm going to stop using essentially.
Good.
As a show. All right.
How about
I called companies out of the Yellow Pages who did not have a web presence. One being a bell bondsman. I told them that I snuck my cell phone in my butt crack into jail and that I needed a bell bondsman. And they said, great, I'm here to help you. And I told them that I could not find them on Google. And they said, well, what the hell? You're already on the phone with us. I said, yeah, but I'm on my smartphone in jail and I need a freaking bell bondsman and I can't find you. And she just was all twisted up, couldn't figure out what the hell I was doing.
You know what?
And
you
I
told
said,
the wrong story. Quiet, please.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, no. He says on December 15th, 2010, not that long ago, okay, he can't bury this in his distant childhood, he called a Dallas-based staffing company.
You're right.
That lacks any organic Google ranking. You're on a show about recruiters. What are you telling us about
okay,
a bail bond
guy? I just was pulling one out of thin air. I didn't know which one you were.
Yeah, well, your brain should have worked a little better for you and brought the right one out of thin air, okay? So he calls him up, and he says, you know, I can't find you. I did a Google search, and you didn't come up. She says, just look us up on Google by our name. But that defeats the point. They want to come when you look for a recruiter in Dallas. They want to come up. That's how they're going to do business, right? And so here's what he did.
Right.
He put up some interesting statistics, and you could talk about these. I'll read them to you, and you can comment. You did a search, and you found out that jobs in Dallas, Texas, Dallas, TX, If you search that in Google, it gets 44,200 search hits or searches, right? What's
correct.
That number? 44,200. What's the number? 44,200.
You're breaking up, Animal. Your phone is weak.
Is it? Is everybody agreeing with her? Because
it gets 111 million results, I think.
Okay, well, I'm asking Ryan, what's that number, 44,000?
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, well, you put it up. Then you said Dallas staffing.
Man.
These are search terms. If you search jobs in Dallas.
Oh, those are I'm sorry. Those are global. The 44,000 is global monthly searches done for that keyword as given by Google keyword tools.
Okay, jobs
so
in Dallas, Texas.
44,000 people type that in.
Okay, Dallas staffing, you got 20,000, 19,800. Temporary agencies in Dallas, 1,440, right? Staffing agencies
correct.
In Dallas, 5,400 people. Put that in 1 month. Is that right? 1 month.
That is correct. Those are
so
global
point,
monthly searches.
Yeah, so your point was that by ignoring SEO, this company's missing out on 71,000 exposures a month.
That is correct.
Or the opportunity to get in there. 71,000 is a ridiculous figure. It's not going to be them. But they didn't appear near the front. Now, you're telling us that you can make companies come near the front of those searches, those specific searches that you
I'm not only
there?
Telling you that. I'm not only telling you that, but if you do those specific searches,
yeah.
My clients for my agency rule
uh-huh.
the top four phases.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay. So now,
those are actually my clients that I've worked with for years doing search engine marketing, search engine optimization.
Okay, but
they dominate the first four.
Okay, but you told me that most recruiters, they don't really get social media. They don't get marketing. Is that true?
Not at all. That's true.
You want to explain it? Do I have to pull it out of you?
I'll explain it. The temperature is that if it doesn't work in a day, they poo-poo it. And then they want their money back. Even though your contract, your pre-negotiation stated that organic SEO takes a very long time, you must understand that, you must have patience, you've got to build it over not only months but even years. Once it's built, though, you will obviously reduce all of your overhead in terms of candidate procurement and things of that nature. The clients that dominate those top four areas, one in particular, started working with me with a $500,000 job board spend. In 3 years, there's zero. They have enough quality candidates coming through those channels directly through their linkages that they don't have an expenditure. So we cut $500,000 a year in spend.
Okay, so let's just go into detail. So you had a client.
Sure.
Rayanne, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I can call back in, but I'll just pose this question. Maybe I should call back in because there's so much cracking noises. Anyway, you said these guys, they had, what, five locations?
Five locations, spending about $100,000 a year each on candidate procurement.
Okay, so they were. So every location was spending money on ads in the newspapers, right?
Ads in newspapers, job boards, all of that.
They had all the membership for the job boards. Anything
man,
else they were doing? What accounted
no.
for that $100,000? Is that it, job boards and ads in newspapers? Anything else?
No, that's basically it. It's Star Telegram, Dallas Morning News, it's the Business Press, Business Journal, Monster, Career Builder.
Okay, and then after you built them a website, they got rid of everything, and it cost them zero after the initial investment for the
that's
for
a little
a better
too
return.
Elementary. That's a little too elementary. After the website was optimized, which took about anywhere, I think it was about 24 months, so it took a couple of years to get it there. So it was not, flip the light switch. I'm such a great web developer that tomorrow you can kill all this cost. There was a taper down over about 24 months to eventually zero.
Okay. Now, Jerry, are you still awake?
Me?
Yeah. Haven't
Jerry's
you said that you don't believe in SEO for recruiters? They don't need websites.
I just do a different thing. I mean, I'm not looking for people to find me. That's just my
right.
approach.
Yeah, Ryan, if you're a headhunter who goes after a specific person for a job, like I went after, you know, people with a very specific industry background from specific
right.
companies, who've sold to specific companies, do I need SEO? Do I need people to find me? I'm going out and looking for specific people.
Sure.
Were your clients staffing firms that are looking for large volumes of, low-level people? Or?
Some have had great success in SEO in very specific niches like position recruiting. Got a great position recruiting client that I had for years down in Austin that benefited tremendously.
I've never heard that term. I never heard. Is that a Texas term, position recruiting?
Physician.
Does anybody else know what that means?
Physician, like doctor.
Okay, doctor recruiting.
not position recruiting. So, yeah, I mean, the small guy with a niche that's really looking for very specific niche individuals can sure benefit from it. Is it going to be as big of a spin and as important as the one looking for high volume? Certainly not.
Okay.
But here's,
now, you
this
know
is
what?
A good point. This is a good point. I want to hold you on this for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
What Jerry said is actually part of my utter hate for recruiters.
Nice.
Okay?
Bring it
not
on.
Meaning, okay? Jerry said, I'm not looking for people looking for me. Okay?
No, I said I'm not, let me clarify. That's not what I'm banking on.
Sure.
I'm not
right.
an employment
I get
agency.
What you're saying.
I don't need my cousins and grandma seeing if I can help their friend put their resume together.
Right.
That's
well,
just not what
we'll
I'm into.
We'll talk about that here in a second, too.
Okay.
Okay. Jerry, the thing is all around the U.S., recruiters call with your mindset, okay? And they say, I went to this freaking seminar, heard this dude talking about the web and Google, and I need it. And I'm going to write you $20,000 to get me up there. Mm-hmm. You say, okay. They put the $20,000 on a credit card. You immediately go to work for them. You spend 3 months working for them. You start building a solid backlinking and SEO program. They call you, woohoo, we're getting people. Somebody found us. Great, we got a new job order. It begins to work.
Okay.
Then as the excitement begins to wear off, guess what happens? I wake up with my bank account, $20,000 in the red, or not totally in the red, but a debit for $20,000. Why? They did a credit card chargeback. Why? Because they found out that they're getting too many candidates, they don't want them, now they're being pestered by people, and the SEO worked too much. So they just charge
people
to start
that. That's awful.
I hate it when that happens.
Time. Happens all the time. Then they say service is not rendered to their credit card company. Credit card company sides with them. I'm out 3 months worth of work with very skilled individuals who have spent lots of time developing this site and the SEO.
That is a bummer.
Because it worked too well.
Well, it worked in the wrong way for them.
In the wrong
I mean,
way.
If,
correct.
I mean, if it actually
so
worked
we,
too well, they probably wouldn't have done that. But then again,
well,
they...
Well, I agree.
Ryan, it's Janice. I'm surprised you can't prove that to a credit card company. I know we're off topic. But
can't prove
it. Proven?
Can't prove it. Not at all. And
are you
fact,
a legitimate company? I mean, did you have a legitimate business set up?
We're incorporated in the state of Texas, full-blown.
Yeah, there's
C-Corp.
No way.
No, they won't give it back. And the reason is we would fight this tooth and nail. The reason is SEO, is the company can simply say, well, I have this website before. I'm not seeing anything. They don't understand the backlinks. They don't understand the coding. They don't understand any of that. You can send the entire case study to the credit card company. You've got a $9 an hour idiot on the phone that, you know, probably tomorrow is going to hang themselves in a closet because their friend said something about them on MySpace, and they're making decisions at the $20,000 level between two corporations.
But now my issue with that isn't so much what kind of person. It doesn't matter if they're a recruiter or if they sell bowling balls. They sound crooked to me. They knew what they were buying. They knew what they were paying for.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they went to ASA or NAPS or, you know, somebody listened to Danny or, you know, whoever and heard that this is, a great way to build business and exposure. They decided to do it. It didn't get the results that they desired. Even though I don't control Google. I don't control who's searching for what. If you got too many candidates coming in that are physicians, that are junk candidates, I can't control that. What I did was, is what I said, I was going to build you a website that attracted that niche and brought people into your world. And that's what I did. That's what you contracted me for.
Right.
But you know what? Hey, Overby will go and collect the money for you.
Yeah, you know, Maureen's friend, Hey Overby, on Twitter, he's a collection officer.
Yeah.
He's got a background in it, at least.
Yeah.
Collection officer?
Yes, you might
have heard
this guy.
Like
hey, Overby, this guy, Ryan's on Facebook, and his personal blog is ryankovach.com, RyanKovach, and his company name and his Twitter name are Staffing Wise. And Staffing Wise is a recruiting firm, believe it or not, right?
Sure. Absolutely. In 2009,
this guy, he owns a recruiting firm, everybody, just in case you didn't realize that. He owns a recruiting firm, but he calls himself on LinkedIn the director of marketing. You're not doing any recruiting yourself. Is that right?
No, not at all. Not at all. After I sold my agency in 2009, I floated around, didn't know what I was going to do. Just kind of. So I floated around a little bit. I was approached by some stellar recruiters that were high producers. It's all about the money for me, right? So actually, they were high school friends that went on to work. They all went on. They were high school buddies. One is a guy I played football with and stuff. They went on to work for firms for, you know, anywhere between 8 and 12 years. Became top producers, TAPC, Napa, you know, award winners, you know, consistently and things of that nature. They called me, said, we're going to start our own firm. You know, we know that you don't have your agency anymore. You're just kind of floundering around out there in the water doing nothing. Come on as our director of marketing.
From your recent sale.
Right. So I went to work for them as a managing member and director of marketing. So I'm not placing people. I'm managing the media side and the SEO and practicing all the things that I
okay,
can
you dragged that out.
Here.
You dragged that out. Okay. Okay. Now look, you've got a posting on your website called "Don't Be Cheap," and you say that you know if you want to charge premium prices, don't go looking for deals when you have to buy something. Is that really important to you? Does that reflect this bitter experience you've had with recruiters?
I think it does. Absolutely. I think it's a complete reflection of my mindset right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, do you hate Jerry?
No.
Yeah.
Nope. Jerry's smart enough to not call me and hire me.
Okay. Okay.
That's why I don't hate him.
So,
he's actually wise enough to know that those services that I do don't fit into his model. So, therefore, he didn't waste my time. He didn't yank money out of my pocket, and he's smart enough to know it's just not right.
But then here's the point. My point is, it's for a staffing company. Your services being high rated on an organic Google search, that's important for a staffing company that you know wants to have as many draftsmen or I don't know if that's a sexist term, design engineers, a certain massive amount of people coming in on a regular basis. That's what the SEO is good for. It's not good for targeted headhunters. Am I right? That's what it sounds
that's
like
correct.
You're saying now. Okay, now you. So you.
I think that's correct.
Okay,
you
now
still
I don't
take credit cards.
Okay, you also had a posting. I think it was by you called "Be a Teacher, Not a Douchebag." Is that by you?
Like him.
Yeah, that was him.
Okay, what's up with that? What are you talking about there?
Did you read the post?
What is a douchebag or?
No. What was your point? What was your point?
Didn't you read the post?
I read it, but you know what? He's the guest. Not everybody here has read it. Okay, I wanted Tim to explain it to my audience.
I haven't read it.
Okay, Rayanne. Yeah. Okay.
I think you better give his site address again.
Ryan. All his stuff is missing. He deleted it or the new guys who took over his business, they've deleted everything. You can find all those prank calls on Google, but when you click through to listen to them, you don't get anything. Okay,
what's his site name? So we can go
Ryan Kovach. He's got a company called Staffing Wise. Staffing, S-T-A, listen Maureen, listen closely, Staffing Wise, WISE.com. His name is Ryan Kovach, it's not English, R-Y-A-N, that's an Irish name, it should suit you, Ryan Kovach, K-O-V-A-C-H. And I'll bet back in Europe it wasn't spelled like that, but it makes sense to here in the United States.
It's Hungarian, actually, and it's basically
Kovacs. Yeah, just like Ernie Kovacs. They would have been calling you Kovacs if it was spelled Hungarian style.
Kovacs.
Right?
Right, right.
Pudvod Ryan. Okay, so what do you want to talk about now? Anybody got some questions for him? Janice, you always have something to say. Come on.
Do you still take credit cards?
No, I do not. We actually chilled our credit card machine.
We take debit cards and cash only. Thank you.
Okay.
Here's why. How many times did that happen to you? I had to hang up for a second and come back. Did that just happen one time or more than once?
Oh, no. This was actually a crazy phenomenon. It was unbelievable. We would have this.
Oh, come on, Ryan. Happened once, shame on them. Happened twice, shame on you.
No. In just 2009 alone, the year, and I didn't even have the company the whole year. In 2009 alone, it probably happened about 8 times.
Man, if I knew you could do that, I can't imagine all the great shopping I would have been doing in 08 and 09.
Hey, listen, if you're just a total POS, do it. They'll give you your money back.
What's POF stand for?
Oh, come on.
Use your head.
If you are very unethical,
okay, you know what?
Just
wait on top of Ryan. Ryan, look at me, Ryan. Look at me, okay? Ryan. You've got on your website, you've got something that I don't necessarily agree with, the 5-2-1 rule. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, sure.
Go
ahead.
What
do I know about?
You know what? First explain it, or I'll do it. You know, listen, I hope the resume strategy is listening today. I have to read everything for this guy. He doesn't want to say anything himself. He just wants to whine about his bad customers and the fact that he let people, like Rayanne pointed out, you know, take them every time, if it's true. Okay, here's a simple rule for any business development professional looking to grow their business and professional network. That's what you said, Ryan.
Right.
5, call or meet at least 5 new people a day. Set 5 face-to-face appointments a day. You won't always meet that criteria, but the energy created trying will be unstoppable. What's your proof? Okay, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes sense because I'm a metrics guy, okay? I study metrics like a freak, okay? And what I've found is when you meet, especially if you can do it face-to-face, again, if you're a national recruiter, you may not have that luxury, but if you can meet 5 people face-to-face each day, the wealth of knowledge that you get from them, what I've done is I've been able to trace that and put it into actual metrics to understand that it has brought me in more business, more other quality candidates, than any other method, SEO, social media, and all of that.
Hey, Ryan.
Yes.
Something that you may not know.
I know what's coming.
Animal
Cupcake
believes there is no benefit in actually leaving his cave to meet anybody. So,
okay.
Kinda,
or cage.
Yeah.
I don't like meeting people.
He's totally against it. And he's allegedly in sales, which is shocking.
I don't see any advantage in it.
Jerry Ryan doesn't like people either.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard in days.
What's so good about meeting people, Ryan? Ryan, what's so good about meeting people?
He just told you it creates momentum.
Because the momentum that you receive, here's what I have found. They are more willing to actually go to work for you, which I consider free labor. When I meet with people that are either in a position to hire from me or be hired by my company, or to advance our company's agenda, and I'm kind, and I buy them things, and I get them a drink, a Starbucks,
cupcakes,
or whatever, and we chit-chat, okay? That person then becomes a free paid street team for me.
Like a social media.
You
want to
know something?
Organizer.
I got to tell you. I'm an everyday Starbucks guy most of the time, and one of the Starbucks.
What's that habit cost you a week, Animal?
Okay, I'm not that. I was off for a while, but now I'm back.
$15.
Money, honey.
Yeah, listen. It's $2 a day. Okay, so listen.
Who said 15? They were close.
Okay, that depends
me.
What you're drinking. Listen, we're running out of time.
Thank goodness.
I'm sitting up there on the second floor of the Davisville and Young Starbucks, and there's a recruiting firm across the street, and every morning it's I don't know, 6:30. Maybe it was Mel Benwell's firm. I don't know. But there's people in there every morning interviewing people, and they didn't know I was a recruiter sitting there with my laptop. And they're so boring. It was torture listening to those conversations with their candidates. There wasn't any charm about them. It wasn't lively.
That's their
problem. Just, you know,
exactly. That's the people.
That's their problem. You know, if all you're doing is meeting them to interview them, you know, that's fine, whatever.
You don't meet candidates in person to – not nearly as important as meeting someone who can sign a check with your name at the top of it.
Yeah, there you go.
More importantly, I'm meeting with people that can – well, I meet with candidates. But more importantly, I do meet with people that can advance the agenda of my firm. In 1 week, last week, I met with two different individuals that are not going to hire from me or be a candidate. However – they're very, very well connected in the end, in the Metroplex. Out of that one meeting, it cost me $40 for a lunch. Out of that one meeting, my phone rang, and three different individuals, a CFO from one firm, a information technology guy from another firm, and a recruiter from another firm called. The recruiter gave us an order. The information technology guy asked if I was still in the web development and SEO, and if I was, he wanted to look at doing about, you know, $100,000 web project. And the other individual, the CFO, was looking for a controller for his company. These were all people I didn't know previously, and I had $40 spend and an hour of conversation.
Okay,
so
let me know who you were sitting with.
Yeah, let's talk about who was this person. How did you find
Who was the guy that sat through you taking three phone calls like that?
And what the hell is a Metroplex?
The Metroplex is the Dallas, Arlington, and Fort Worth. You know, how they all kind of tie together in touch. They've just called it the Metroplex.
Right,
was that the two part of your 5-2-1? I lost something.
No, we haven't got to. We're still at the 5, Maureen.
Let's move on to the two part.
Yeah, okay.
We try to get out and meet five people a day. And
no,
they
but
don't
listen,
have to
Ryan, oh, please, come on. Listen to me for a second. Who was this person? Like, what? Not his name,
you
or
want
her
me?
Name. What? How did you come by this person? What was the reason for? Did you track this person for a long time? Did you, you know, just stand out in front of your store and talk to people on the street?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's an individual that was a client of mine back at Dillinger and Kovach.
Yeah.
Left the recruiting industry.
Mm-hmm.
Opened up a financial network online.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we're just good friends.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a very special. Okay, hold on. Let me grill you before the time's over.
Sure.
This was a very special person. When you're trying to go and meet five people a day, or even talk to five new people on the phone for just this kind of, you know, it sounds like institutional business development or whatever, just calling people up and not interviewing them, just having a chat. You have to go through a lot of people to get that. These people are not all going to be as targeted as this one person, and I'll bet
those
the returns
people,
from them.
The three people that came out of it, Animal, the three people that came out of it will absolutely be under my arm friends for guaranteed for the next
You're answering a different question. How do you get five people a day? Who do you target? How do you say I'm going
to
get these five people?
What are we even talking about?
He says talk to five people a day. Talk to five people a day. Which five people? Which ones?
People you don't know.
Depends on your target.
You be quiet for a change, okay? I'm asking the candidate. I'm asking the guests.
Okay. How do I find them? A lot of them are through Facebook that I find that are local. Okay. And generally they can't help me. In a sense of they're not going to write me a check and I'm not going to place them. But they're smart. They're
but who
connected.
Are they? Well, you go on the Facebook
you
and
want
what
a
do
real
you
name?
Do? No, no. I mean, you go on the Facebook and what do? A search on Facebook for a certain kind
sure.
of person?
No,
what do you do?
No. Oftentimes I'll look at who I am most communicating with. Most of them I've never met in person. They're a great crop of people. Twitter is a great crop of people, okay?
Okay. Uh-huh.
A simple message to somebody that you've been connected with for a year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever, on Facebook, that you've had chats with and everything, you don't even know what they look like. Shooting them a private message saying, can I take you to lunch today? They don't know why, but they think, wow, Ryan's this guy. I know him. He's invited me to lunch. I'll go. It's
okay.
Very, very simple.
Okay. Five people a day. You're not going to spend five coffees a day. You're going to spend half your day at Starbucks or wherever you go down there, right? So most of these are on the phone. You're generating these.
It's going to be front-loaded work. It's going to be front-loaded work, but the back-end work pays for itself.
Yeah, okay. The next number two, Maureen, now you can listen. Make two new connections per day on social media. Don't simply connect and move on. Ask questions. Get to know the person and ask them if you can be of any help. Like, who did you do today, Ryan?
Who have I done today? Today I have, well, let me tell you. I'll tell you specifics. Got it right in front. I don't want a lot of dead time here. am I killing you?
You know, you didn't even answer my first question about those five people. You sort of, anyone you see, so you're tracking people on Facebook who live in Dallas or Fort Worth or the Metroplex,
sure.
And on Twitter, you make sure to connect with a certain group of people. Okay, and so it could be a job function like design engineers or an industry as well. And then even if they're not in your locality, say, can we have a phone chat, right? Is that what?
Right.
And maybe you send them a Starbucks card so they've got a drink while they're talking to you. Okay,
right.
Fine. So now there's two people you have a chat with that you met. Okay, that's two others. Aren't those the same? So those are two new people. The five people,
these
you're
new
exploiting
people.
The guys. Okay, and help someone every day. What does that mean?
Help someone every day. Very, very simple. I either it's the smallest things. It could be, you know, like going last week, for instance, in one day, I had not helped my person for the day. It was coming to the end of the day. I was feeling pretty bad about that. Pulled up to a gas station. This old lady's broke down. I'm in a tie. I'm in a white shirt. I'm just coming back from a meeting. I'm tired. I'm ready for a beer. I'm cranky. I'm going to kick my dog when I get home, okay? Now, she's got her hood up. She's dying in 100-degree heat, and it's sweltering. And I got my arms in her car and looked around and helped her get her car started. Got grease all over me. It was a hottest miserable day in Texas, and I helped her. And the look in her eyes was just phenomenal. And I walked away, and I didn't come home, and I didn't kick my dog, and I hugged my kids, and it was a great day.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Got to look for opportunities every day.
Golden rule, baby. Ryan, we have a question coming up on the Twitter stream. Resume Strategy wants to know, how much money do you spend on feeding your contacts?
I spend a lot, but here, I've got something
how
interesting.
How much? Yeah. Dollars and cents, please.
Come on, Maureen.
Focus
on a weekly basis.
How much?
Jerry, you lay off her. Jerry, you lay off her. Come on. She's a money.
Oh, my
money.
God.
Go
Resume Strategy
basis,
wants
probably,
to know, what would a good budget
have,
be? Make a, su-
a
suggestion
basis, probably,
for a budget for these cheap bastard recruiters.
$50.
Nah,
$50, you agree
basis,
with that, Ryan?
A couple hundred bucks.
Yeah,
a couple
really.
Hundred dollars a week?
Yep.
Okay.
There,
okay,
you happy?
Ryan, you say that, you know, you spent the last decade trying to get your clients to take advantage of early adoption opportunities only to be met with glazed over eyes. You know, why weren't they inspired by all this cool stuff, you would wonder? What inspires you, this was your conclusion, is only going to inspire a select group of people. And rather than spend countless hours agonizing over the fact that 80% of your audience is going to reject your vision, you should look to the 20% who embrace it and nurture segment. That 20% will travel on your journey and recommend you to others, and eventually they're going to be with somebody. How does that relate to what you're doing here? Because it looks like you're casting a very wide net for these coffees and dinners and helping people and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm a metrics guy. I look at what the net positives were at the end of the week, and there's always a very disproportionate positive at the end of the week through metrics, not just feel goods, but through actual things that come about due to those actions. Does that make sense?
No. Okay.
Okay.
Now, strange to say, on your blog, you also have a posting about getting off social media. You advise, you say, get off Facebook, get off Twitter, and the rest of the fads, and start doing business again. I was a social media evangelist, but now I've killed most, if not all, of my social media outlets, and begun to reach out to human beings via the old telephone, email,
Amen.
And in-house meetings.
Yeah, it's very contradictory.
The reason is,
again, metrics. What I have found is most of my social media time and what my clients tell me or used to tell me is that they're goofing off on there. And I do a lot of goofing off. That's wasted time. Time is money. When I put it down and look away, you can do a couple of things online a day that absolutely propel your company forward. But when you sit on there and goof off all day, obviously it makes sense. So when you put it down, you walk away, and you start meeting these 5-2-1 agendas. You start meeting with people face-to-face. And there's an interesting thing, Animal, I want to say. Here's where I got my – I actually read a study by a German researcher. His name is Armin Falk, and you can look it up. And he used neuroscience and brain activity scans to basically figure out, without a doubt, the bigger gift that you supply somebody that doesn't deserve it, the bigger the return that they feel they must reciprocate. And so what that essentially means is when you help somebody in a big way, there's an actual obligation, just neuro.
Okay,
just
you know what? I got to tell you.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Yeah, the people who stiffed you for $20,000 again and again, those are the metrics you should be studying.
Yeah,
you
that's
help
bullshit.
Them. Yeah, they screwed
you. No.
Yeah, the more you do for people.
Let me move on.
No, you're wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong, Animal. Let me tell you why you're wrong.
Do it.
I did not gift them. In their mind,
right.
They gifted me $20,000. Okay?
Maureen?
I went to work. I felt an obligation to reciprocate.
Thieves and criminals don't really mix into this. You got to throw those out.
Okay, a couple of other things. Ryan says, don't copy someone else's brand because your brand is your soul. Every soul is different. That's ridiculous. What you have to do is look
not
at
ridiculous.
The companies. Well, you listen to me for a sec. You have to look at the companies that are doing the same thing as you. You're not so different. Copy what they're doing. It's going to be a lot cheaper for you.
I just completely disagree.
Give me an example.
I disagree based on feedback from the business community. You got to understand, I have a database of companies across America that's bigger than most people. Why? Because 125 staffing agencies and recruiting firms across America gave me access to that over a decade to run all sorts of surveys from the business community that's going to write you a check. And the number one complaint is a change of rep that doesn't understand their business. The very number two across the board for a decade, it doesn't matter, is they cannot decipher the difference between one or the other, and that they should do a better job at having better processes and proprietary methods than the competition so that they can make an educated guess on who to go with. And it doesn't matter what survey.
Just an example here would be audio included with the resume. A clear differentiator.
VerbalSummary.com. Everybody check it out. VerbalSummary.com.
Right.
Check it out because I'm kicking your ass with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now, Ryan, this
anyone,
is related to,
$10 million
I guess it's going to be pretty well the last question. Where are you were these companies that were doing very poorly. I've missed out on asking because you dragged out your answers. I didn't get to a lot of questions about how companies can improve, how recruiters where they should look to improve their growth. But what I want to ask is these companies that were really going wrong, that called you in to help, that you either helped them or it was just too late. What are the common mistakes that recruiters make that hurt them?
I think that one of the common mistakes was isolation, living off of past successes, having enough in the bank to not be hungry until you're hungry and then try to save the ship when you're hungry. I think it's the duty of anybody that owns a business, and this is just how I see it. It's the duty of a company that owns a legitimate corporation that they grow and that they invest in their growth. What happens is these guys just aren't hungry. They make enough to go have their boat, their house, and everything else. It's when dark times fall on them that they're looking to make some drastic change. And usually, sometimes we turn the ship around, but usually It's far too late. So my recommendation to any company, if you're a one-man guy sitting in your garage, or if you, you know, are a growing firm, 4, 5, 10 people, whatever it may be, the goal is to consistently push your brand through so that you get more and more potential business and you have growth. That's your ethical duty to a corporation, is profits and growth.
So keep looking for new customers even if you're doing well, is what you're saying. Is that right?
Of course. Of course.
That's the best time to find new customers.
Absolutely.
Have you ever tried to make a placement when you have to? At that point, you're screwed.
Absolutely. You're screwed.
The best time to make a placement is when you don't need one.
Okay, you know, maybe I should have you back, because now I'm just getting to the questions I wanted to ask. Maybe I'll ask one
more question.
I'll come
back to
you. I'll let you have some of my time, Animal.
Uncle, is he going to stay on?
Of course.
You want him to
stay
on?
Sure.
Okay, but I'll just go over then a little, and then I'll hand it over to you, Jerry.
It'll be charged back.
Yeah,
go
okay.
Ahead.
But listen, Ryan, now Jerry referred to something about cupcake marketing. That's when if you've got a client, you buy them gifts, like their favorite cupcakes or whatever.
Well,
that's, to me, that's a bribe. I consider that a pure bribe.
Hold on.
Doing business.
I'm not endorsing that. I just made it as a point of reference. I don't endorse
that. Well, Jerry likes to buy big lunches for the whole team or something like that.
Sure.
What's your opinion about that?
It's manipulative if you look at the brain studies. For instance, cigarette smoking. They thought by putting the big ugly warning labels on there that it was going to get people to stop smoking. Actually, it caused people to smoke more because you smoke because you're a rebel. So whenever they show you something bad about smoking, people actually crave smoking more. That's why the cigarette companies did not fight that federal legislation. Same thing goes for gifts. You cannot trick the brain is the brain. When you buy a gift, research after research from fMRI studies show that the person feels an obligation to stick by your side and reciprocate favors.
What
That's
if you buy them
fine.
Cigarettes?
Buy them smoke if they smoke.
Did you get a double whammy with that one?
Yeah,
when
I like
smoke,
it.
When I used to smoke years
the
ago.
The cigarette guy.
Until my wife made me start when I used to smoke years ago, and thank God she did. If you would have bought me a carton of smokes, you were my bud. And if you threw a 12-pack in there, I would do anything for you. And if you threw the 12-pack in there and I drank the 12-pack, I would really do it. I'd give you my house.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Last question before we go to the after show. Jerry said you could stay on. You're not usually supposed to, but he said you could stay on if you want to. My question
cool.
is, how do you when you've got a lot of experience as a recruiter? I just want to know, how do you approach? What's your cold call? How do you approach a stranger on the phone when you're recruiting them?
Oh boy, I usually soften them up with a couple of touches before I approach them.
What do you mean?
Well, I will send them a request to be included in my tips and tricks. Okay, if I get that. Normally, if they unsubscribe and yell at me in spam report, I don't want to talk to them. If I get somebody that's willing to accept that, now I touch them a couple of times with some email marketing or whatnot to get my name in front of them, and then I call and ask them if I can get in
so
front
you mean
of.
If you're active, not now, but if you're actively working a search, you can't delay it for, you know, a week, the contact, by sending emails and invitations to, your mailing list.
Well, but I guess I'm taking it from the opposite angle. I want to have my companies in place that I can put people at before I'm looking at a search. I mean, that's just my philosophy.
Okay, so you like to stock your database with warm candidates before you need them, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, I like to have a lot of hiring managers looking for a lot of stuff before I look for people. I mean, that's just
okay.
Me.
So what happens when you get someone on the phone? What do you say to them? You got a job. What do you say when you get them on the phone?
I take them out and buy them $40 lunches. And we chat about their
I
job.
I don't believe you. I don't believe
you
for a second.
Hey, I'll send you my receipts. Promise you.
You can't recruit everybody like that, but I'm going to leave you to Jerry.
I'm not recruiting.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Nice job.
How many hours a day do you work, Ryan? I wanted to ask.
Why does he get to stay on again?
Because I really don't care anymore. Right?
you just don't care anymore. But what if Mike Gaystringer comes in and just takes over for you because you have a lack of caring?
Yeah, but I don't think Ryan, this is recruiting animal for a sec. I don't think Ryan realizes that this part of the show is where they grade us and tell us how bad we were. And usually they don't like to do that when the person is right there in front of them.
Well, you get higher grades.
You are.
Usually get higher grades.
Animal mistook my letting him extend his show a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
For me saying, hey,
Ryan,
it's free for all. I don't have any rules, whatever.
Okay,
I was
Ryan,
trying to get you
to
clarify.
I'll let Jerry kick you off.
I don't care.
You know Jerry, it sounds like...
I left...
I think Jerry's been on vacation for too long.
Yeah,
I came back and the stock market is down 2,000 points. Okay.
Somebody's in their car. Someone's in their car. I can hear the wind in their window while they're listening to this show. Could I just open 814? That might be it. Anyway, I'm going to sign off. And Jerry, if you want to kick this guy off, fine. Ryan, I enjoyed talking with you. I hope you come back again.
Nah, Ryan.
Thanks,
man.
I appreciate you.
Kick off the bone.
Ryan,
can we stay with the A show?
Hey, guys, I'm going to hop off.
Hey, Ryan, Ryan.
Thanks for your time, Ryan.
Ryan.
Yes.
Question. You're 521. Where can that be found?
RyanKovach.com.
All right, thanks. See you on Facebook.
All right, talk to y'all later.
Hey, see you, Ryan. Enjoy the show, man.
See you, Jerry. All right,
yep,
man.
Thank
you. Hey, Jerry, can we stay with the A Show hashtag?
I really don't want to participate in that, Maureen. It's bad branding. I don't like it.
That's what I'm saying.
I never condone
it.
Look, you throw another S
it.
In there.
Not,
all we have to do
right.
is slip with the finger and add an extra S in there, and then all of a sudden it's ass
cow. Hey, let's talk about. Well, first of all, whoever's doing it, roll up your window, please.
Yeah.
Not
me. Or take your cell phone out of the conch shell.
Jerry, I'm going to put 614 on hold because I think that's who it is, okay? Area code 614, do you want to speak up before I mute you?
Yeah, I'll call back if I have to.
Is it you? Are you 614?
Yeah, Janice, yeah.
But you've been on the whole show.
You. No.
I'm going to put, well, there's only a few people. I'll try everyone on mute. That was Janice. That's Janice.
Okay, I'll call back.
No, that's not you. It's not you. You're still on.
Give me your scores real quick.
It's not 317.
No, it's not 317.
I don't hear it now.
I don't hear it. Area code 614306.
We talk about the real stuff, which is bonus track.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh.
I forgot to bring it up. I was so engrossed with that guy. Go ahead.
Jeff, give me your educational score, then entertainment. Come on, hit me fast.
Educational score. Boy, 9 3/4.
We do it from 1 to 100 now.
Oh, okay.
Welcome back, Janice.
Oh,
where
no,
you
no,
been,
no.
Janice?
That'd be 97.5, I think.
You don't know. Okay. 97.5. Educational.
Cannot accept anything other than a whole number, but
97 and 98. Entertaining and educational. But I knew this guy from Facebook.
Okay, so you're a patsy that he dragged in.
I think he's great. I am 100% aligned with everything he says.
Yeah, he's on the money. That's
what I
suggested him for the show.
You know, I'll go 95. I mean, guys, he's a good dude. I mean, he's been very helpful to me on some things. And
sometimes he'll just tear somebody up on Facebook over their absurd leftist views, and I love it.
If you're easily offended by that kind of stuff, then you know you probably want to stay away. But he's a great dude. He really is.
All right.
I've never heard the business side of him before. He's very smart.
Ran, I'm just getting scores real quick, and then we'll chit-chat.
Yeah. 95. Yeah, I enjoyed the show. As long as it stayed.
This is going to be one of the best shows ever?
No, okay, let me
Come on, people, I'm just saying, no,
I was being influenced by the crowd, okay? Would you shut up for a minute and let me think?
Why
not?
Why is it one of the best shows ever? It was great.
Well, here's one.
It was one of the best shows ever. I'm going to say, let me finish, okay? I'm going to say 70 for educational, 85 for entertainment, okay? Was that better?
Yeah,
that's acceptable.
Only because I didn't learn anything new.
Go ahead, Maureen. Is Maureen still here, or did she bail with Animal? Yeah, bailed. Baylor.
Money,
I'll
honey.
I'll send her a tweet. I'll send her a tweet.
Jeez. Okay, Ryan, tell us about. Wait, have I missed
wait,
anybody's
Andy.
Scores?
No, I already said 95-95.
Oh, okay.
Ryan, there's been a big shakeup. Tell us about it.
God, this is old news.
Drama.
What do you mean?
It's not old news for me. I've been out for 3 weeks. Give me a
come
break.
On. It's our daily soap opera. It's right here.
Oh, okay. Actually, it was not really a big shakeup. When everything, I mean, I'm gonna lay it out. I really like the guys over at Recruiting Blogs, but after the purchase, it wasn't 3 weeks until they called me. So it was quite a while, and I just continued to produce Bonus Track and write dutifully, but I didn't hear from either one of them for almost a month.
So it was purely a female/emotional reaction.
Absolutely not. I have always been completely devoted to Recruiting Blogs.
Could you have not called them?
I did call them.
So they did not return your call then?
They did not return my call until...
Do they not know who you are? Do they not know who you are? I mean, come on.
No, it's not about that. I my writing has evolved over the last 2.5 years, 3 years, and I wasn't
so
only
mine,
writing...
So is mine, by the way.
Right. You stopped. I know. I wasn't only writing about recruiting anymore and HR problems. I was writing more about business and life and ethics and so forth. And I wasn't sure if it was the best venue for me anymore. And I actually was contacted by 3 different forums that asked me to come write for them immediately after the sale. And I kept saying, no, I'm going to wait to hear from Noel and Tim to find out what, you know, what their idea is. You know, maybe
wait a minute. Who wanted you?
I'm not going to say.
Somebody else, you say?
Three other forums where I could write contacted me and asked if I would come write for them.
Okay.
And
is that all, just 3?
Just 3, yeah.
Well, I'd like to, I guess, in retrospect, add a 4th. Jerry the Recruiter would have welcomed your content.
Well, Jerry the Recruiter didn't contact me.
Okay.
There's the forum right there. There's the forum you missed.
Yeah, that is the forum. And so by the time they did contact me, I was already seriously considering writing with Jessica. And I had actually called several people, Von Sumster being one of them, and Jason Davis being another, to ask their advice and input and what their thoughts were about what I should do. And both of them told me to follow my heart. So I decided to do that. And, you know, there have been several posts that I have written since being with Jessica. This is my 2nd week. Three posts that I would have never written had I still been at Recruiting Blogs.
Do you find it a more female-friendly environment over there?
Absolutely not. It's more. Yeah, well. It's a broader audience, and I actually have, I think, more readers now. And
more
it's
readers
been a really
than
good
recruiting blogs.
Yeah.
Did I hear that? Are you serious?
Well, I have
I,
more
I,
readers.
Jessica
that are...
is a sweetheart, so don't confuse any of my questions with. I don't dig her. I think she's great.
Yeah.
She's got more readership than recruiting blogs?
I have more people sharing my stuff. Like, the post that I wrote yesterday was retweeted 31 times. I'd never
didn't
seen
see
that
it.
at recruiting blogs. So,
so it's all about the
more sharing community, more so than...
Yeah, it's much more of a sharing community, and Jessica and I are going to collaborate on a couple other projects. So it was a good move for me, and it was a good move for her. I mean, I think.
Now,
you know what? I'm just glad.
Is Corn in on this?
Is what?
Corn on the job? Is he still plugged in with them? Are we allowed to talk about any of this? Is this?
Yeah. I don't know anything about Corn on
the
job.
It's only it's only the 3 of us talking, so it's totally fine.
Well. You never know when Animal's going to take a part of this recorded conversation. And
that's fine. I have not been introduced to Corn on the Job as a writer. He's not on. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, I got a roll, guys, but good to hear.
Andy! I need to call you.
Yeah, call me back. Call me.
Okay.
Hey.
I'm here.
What do you need to talk to Annie about that you can't talk to us about?
You.
Is it just me and you know? Who's here? Don't leave Ray.
I need to talk to you too, Jerry. So, when are we going to have the Unplugged Recruit Conference in the middle of Indiana?
We need it.
We do need it. We need to
men only. I'm tired of the emotional stuff. Strictly a bunch of dudes being logical. That's all I'm into.
Oh my God.
So women
are out. Did you forget who I am? You forgot who I was already. All this vacation time, you forgot the kind of person that I am.
I tell you, I loved my vacation. It was great.
Oh, how long were you gone?
2.5 weeks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you guys just go camping? I saw a giant pike.
Yeah, camping up by at the very tip of the mitten part of Michigan. Right.
Nice.
Before the bridge. Yeah. And then
did you do real camping, or were you in a trailer?
That is real camping.
No, that's not real camping.
I'll tweet a picture of our campsite.
Okay, that'd be great.
All right. Well, I gotta get back to work.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Bye.
Bye.